Christmas. The wonder of Christmas. And as I was praying about it, you know, God wants us to reconnect with the wonder of Christmas. The Christmas season is a time when angels are busy. God, thank you. I need all the angelic help I can get. It's a time when miracles are expected. It's a time when people seem to be a little bit kinder and a little more friendlier. But there are some people that experience depression, grief, and loneliness during this holiday. And I was reminded of this when a dear friend of mine posted on Facebook her struggle of missing her husband who was in heaven. And all of her kids have grown and moved off. And so I was just reminded of, you know, not everybody's flying high. But this message is for all of us. Those that may need a lift are those who are flying high. The word wonder means this. A feeling of surprise mingled. Don't you like that word mingled? Kind of jingled. Mingled together with admiration, amazement, caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or even unexplained. Now, to my kids and to my wife, I expect to be wondered on Christmas morning whenever I get up and open my presents that I actually sent you the list of stuff that I want. And I did do that. Because, you know, if you want something, I mean, you want it. And people shouldn't have to wonder what you want. So I just tell them. I just say, hey, not only did I tell them what I wanted, I told them where they could get it and how much it cost. So, you know, in Luke 1:29 through 31, it's the story of the angel coming to Mary, right? And it says this. She was troubled by what the angel said to her. I would have been too, because he just said, hey, you're going to have a baby. And she says, I'm not married. I'm not being with a man. She was a little bit troubled. That would trouble me. And then it says, she wondered. Now, I don't want us to get these wonders mixed up, because that type of wonder is not what I'm talking about. That type of wonder means to deliberate, to reason, to resolve in her mind all that the angel was saying. But I will say this Christmas, that we all need to do. We need to engage our minds. We need to set our thoughts on things above, because we tend to travel in the direction that we are looking. I have an example. When I'm driving in my car and I look into the rearview mirror, I tend to slow down. It happens. Gloria say, quit looking in the rearview mirror. When I'm driving my car and I look to the left, I go left. It happens. And whenever I'm driving in my car and I look right, I go right. I tend to go in. Does nobody else do that? I mean, I do that. Those little dots on the side of the road, da 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 da. I ride that line. Either on one side or the other side. But I'm not the only one that does that. Elizabeth does it too. My baby daughter. I was teaching her how to drive. Like, I should have been doing that. And we were going to go on the interstate. Needless to say, she goes in the direction she looks, no matter what's coming. So it's like, hey, back off. Also, I was riding my four-wheeler the other day, right? I had something get out there out of the pasture, and I was going to go chase it down on the four-wheeler. And when I came into work the next day, Lori and Pastor Carl said, man, what happened to your eye and your nose? Because I think I broke my nose, really. It's still really sore right here. And but I was chasing whatever was out on my four-wheeler, and I was going pretty fast. And I tend to duck my head to miss a low-hanging branch, and I look to the right. And when I look to the right, I pulled the front of the four-wheeler to the right, and I ran into a fence post that was made out of a telephone pole. Needless to say, it did not move. And I got popped right in the nose, and I was bleeding. I was in extreme pain. And somebody said, well, did you say a bad word? I said, no, I couldn't even speak. I thought, I have broke my nose. And my oldest grandson, who was helping me try to catch whatever was out, he looked at me and said, man, you're bleeding. What is wrong with you? So, set your mind and your eyes on things above. Now, in Luke 2:8-18, it's the story of the shepherds. Now, we all know this story. They were out in the pasture. They were watching over their sheep by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Fear not, for behold. Every time an angel shows up, they were always saying, fear not. Wonder why? How many of you have ever seen an angel? You probably need to be told, fear not. I mean you no harm. I was shaving one time right before I went to class. I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody. I've been praying, and I was fixing to go to class down at Francis Mary, and it was really early in the morning. I got up to shave, and I just happened to look up, and for an instant, I mean an instant, I believe my angel was standing right behind me. And ever since then, I've been all right because he was a big fella. He was massive. And I believe God sets angels round about us to help us. And so, I was speaking of shaving. I was shaving. You know, I had a beard last week. I was shaving, right? And I didn't get carried away, but my guard was not right. I was trying to trim up. I felt a little shaggy and got a little too deep right here. I had to shave it off in sadness. But David, I left the stash, man. I was looking good in it, feeling good about it, until my oldest grandson said, hey, man, you need to peel that thing off. Oh, it's my prayer during this season that fear that has plagued us and haunts many people will be dispersed as we look to Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, who is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And if God is with us, then he is for us. And if he is for us, then who can be against us? Or what can be against us? Be safe, but don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. You know, for me, there is nothing that I enjoy more than my grandboys. I mean, I don't think there's anything that I enjoy as much as I do my grandboys. And I love, we were talking yesterday, and I love the way they perceive things, the way they understand things, and the way that they think about things. So would you welcome to the stage my five grandboys.
Thank you.
Right. Come on down, other two. Welcome to the stage, my four grand boys. Take it to the moment. And it may even get smaller. What's up, buddy? All right. Good deal. All right. I just want to ask them some questions.
And I want you to participate in this, and who knows what's going to happen. It's very impromptu. What is your name, young man?
Thank you. What is your name?
Jonah.
There you go. Jonah. And what's your name?
Ezekiel.
And your name?
Griffin.
And one more time, what's your name?
Anderson.
Good job, man. Oh. They kind of got to get warmed up a little bit. Do you like Christmas?
Yes.
Do you like Christmas?
Yet.
Jonah, do you like Christmas?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you like Christmas, Anderson? All right. It's like kiss the mic. Okay, I'm going to ask you a very serious question. Where was Jesus born? You don't know? It left you? Sometimes it happens on stage. That's why I had to write it all down, man, because it leaves me. All right. Do you know where Jesus was born? Oh, that's right. That's right. Under the star. Excellent. Zeke, speak slow. Where was he born?
Under the star.
Okay, he was born under a star too. Okay, Griffin. Where was he born?
In a stable.
In a stable. That's exactly right. Do you know what his mom's name was?
Mary.
You agree? Good. Do you know what his dad's name was?
Joseph.
Joseph. Okay. Who visited the baby Jesus?
Shepherd.
Shepherds.
Hey.
Okay.
Cow.
A cow, absolutely. A cow visited Jesus. Who visited Jesus?
God.
God visited Jesus. We'll take it. All right, fellas, do you see that picture right there on the back wall? See it?
Yeah.
All right. Did we go get that tree? Yes, we did. Yeah, we got it. We got it. Okay, I want to know which one of you carried the heaviest part of that tree.
Me.
Well, if I'm looking at that, it looks like you got the very tip end of that tree, man. And it looks like Zeke had the heavy end. Is that how it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Let me ask you this. Is that tree dead or alive?
Alive.
Alive, alive. Alive. Is it dead?
Dead.
Dead. Dead. That's right. All right. Now, we put that tree up on our back porch. And what do we pour in that tree every day?
Water.
And put ice.
Good.
And glasses.
And glasses.
And
oh, you painted. Oh, I see. He painted the ornaments. They all painted the ornaments to decorate that tree. Say it again. That's right. That's right. Now, the other night, we were outside, right, in the pasture, and we saw this in the sky. And everybody, did y'all, I want to know if y'all seen this. You got that picnic? It's coming? It's loading? Oh, it's frozen. But, hey, do you remember seeing the thing fly through the sky? What was that?
Santa Claus.
Was it Santa Claus?
Santa Claus.
Yeah. There it is. Did y'all see that? Listen, honestly, we were out in the field. This is no kidding. And that came from one side of the pasture all the way across the sky to the other side of the pasture. Now, I don't want to mess with their wonder, but I Googled what it was. Santa Claus. Yes, he did. Listen, have you been hunting lately? Wait a minute, guys. Have you been hunting? What did you shoot?
A bear.
How big was it? Yeah. How big? Show me. Yeah. Did your daddy go hunting?
Yeah, he did.
What did he shoot?
He shot a bear.
How big was it?
Like this.
Oh, it was big. That is the absolute first time he has ever done that. How big was his deer? How big was his deer? Oh, yeah. Your daddy has been coaching you, boy. He always says, tiny, 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 tiny. All right, one last question. Thank you very much. What do you want for Christmas?
Anything we're hunting in it.
Say that again, slow enough.
Anything we're hunting in.
Oh, anything to do with hunting. Got you, buddy. What about you? What do you want for Christmas?
A door.
Sword. Do you know what you want for Christmas, Jaybird?
Bear.
Present? He just wants a present. Sweet boy. You want a sword too? No. Can you pick something else that's not so dangerous?
Tools.
Okay. A man after my own heart. Listen, I love y'all. You know that? Good. Don't you forget it. In Jesus' name, you'd be better. Say again.
Another question.
You want another present? One more question. Yeah. What is Christmas all about?
Jesus' birth.
That's right. So we're celebrating Jesus' birth. And who else's birthday are we celebrating?
God.
Santa Claus. There's a lot that we've got to sort out. A lot. But you know what? We're working on it. It's a process. So, hey, thank y'all. I do have something for you as you go to kids' church. I want you to take this, Griff, and share that with all your friends back there. I'm sure the workers will be happy. Thank you. You can have one. Thank you. Thank you, Jaybird. Oh, be careful. Thank you. Would you just clap for them as they went? That was brave. There is a wonder in a child's eyes whenever they open a present. It doesn't matter what it is until you get to a certain age. But there is an age, all you have to do is wrap up a box and give it to them, and when they open it, they're so excited. Now, we did go to the tree farm and cut that tree down. And I want to talk about that just a second. It was so much fun. We had a blast, and trees have gone absolutely crazy in price, about like everything else. I couldn't believe it. I decided I will grow my own tree for next year at the back of the farm. And, but that tree is dead. It is dead. You know, Colossians 2:6-7 says, So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue your lives in Him, rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. To be rooted means to be firmly fixed into place. Deeply rooted makes us immovable. Built up means something that grows upward and is built as strong, solid foundation. The root system of a tree holds the tree in place and provides a source of constant stream of nourishment. That's what the root system does. But when you separate the tree trunk from the root system, that tree, by all reasons, is dead. And just because I pour water into that little basin
I'm just artificially keeping that tree alive. It will turn brown no matter how much water I pour in it. It will dry out and it can become a fire hazard. It may look alive, but it's really dead. Sometimes we get to be the same way. We may look alive, but we've been separated from our root systems. And we become dry. And some of us may become brittle. And when we're brittle, we're easily breakable. So when people say things that may hurt our feelings, it's easy to be offended because we're so breakable. We're not pliable. So, that scripture goes on to say this in verse 8. See to it. Now, if I tell somebody to see to it, that means I want you to go do it. I want you to look after this. I want you to make sure you know what I'm talking about. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy by what they think or say, which depends on human tradition about what they think and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Not everybody has faith. Not everybody is nice. Not everybody understands. But this is a season that if you're feeling bound, this is a season to be set free. This is a season to forgive. This is a season to move forward with your life. This is a season to be replanted, which we will talk about in a second. In 1914, this story, you can read about it in the history books, during World War I, which my great, great granddaddy, your granddad fought in World War I. He fought in that war. And when it came his time to go to service, he literally took his wife and his oldest daughter to his parents' house and said, I need you to look after my wife, to take care of her, and to look after my daughter. I don't think he thought he was coming home. And my grandma tells me the story that he was fighting, and the bullets were whizzing by his helmet, and he could hear them. And he fell on his knees in that area of battle, and he prayed for God to protect him. And God did. He brought him home, and he farmed his whole life in Dillon, South Carolina. But there's a story that takes place during World War I in 1914 against the Britons and the Germans. And they were both dug into their trenches, right? They had been fighting, and they had their dead among them, in front of them, in an area that was 60 yards long, which is 180 feet. That's how far they were enemies. That's how far apart they were. 180 feet. And they were dug into their trenches, and it was Christmas time. And the guys from Britain were in there, and it was quiet for a moment, and they heard carols. Coming from the enemy's trench. They were singing Christmas carols. And so they looked. And they could see that there were little trees that these guys had set up in their trenches. And there were some decorations over there. And so the Brits began to sing too, Christmas carols. Now the guys who are calling the punches, sitting around the table, they were not in on this. But the men who were fighting it out, killing one another, and their leaders called a truce They called a truce long enough to climb out of their trenches, to gather their dead, to refortify their trenches. But there's literally stories of these guys, enemies, singing together, trying to communicate to one another the best they could, playing soccer together in the area that was called no man's land. No man's land. You couldn't go there. If you went there, that you were dead. You're going to get shot either by the enemy or friendly fire. This is a season when the worst of the worst enemies offer forgiveness, climb out of their trenches. And sing a song. Share some fellowship. Kick a ball around. You know, it took a long time for those guys to go back to fighting each other. They did go back to fighting, and they fought for about 3 more years. But I wonder who it was that shot the first bullet. And I even wonder if it was anybody in those trenches. I don't know. So, this is a season to offer forgiveness. Now, if you feel dry and brittle and you're easily broken, you can be rerooted. Now, I do not have a green thumb, by no means. Lori's thumb is much greener than mine. But there is something called rooting hardwood cuttings, or rooting a rose cutting. I got a friend of mine from Mexico. He came out to the house and he seen my rose bushes, which are actually Lori's rose bushes. He said, "Are those yours?" I said, "They sure are." He said, "I would like to have them." I said, "No, you can't." I said, "Do you want a cutting?" Like I knew what I was talking about. "Do you want a cutting? See?" I said, "Then you can have a cutting as much as you want. Just don't kill it." Because he wants to go back and plant them and grow them. And then he's going to sell the roses that came off my farm. And he's not going to give me a cut. But listen, you choose the branches that have grown in the past year. So if you've grown a little bit, just a little bit, and you cut it straight across the branch, right below the bud, or right below where the fruit is at. And you pinch the soft top growth and cut the remaining branch into 6 pieces, 1 foot long. And then you dip the bottom end of the branch into some hormone rooting powder. I've got some of that in my building. So like a little white powder, you just dip the end of it. And then you wrap it in something wet, or you place it in some fertile wet soil. And then the roots began to grow again. So it's never too late, no matter if you've been separated from your root source. God wants to reroot us. He wants us to ask for forgiveness during this season. He wants to dip us in the word and prayer. And then he wants to plant us into fertile soil. Now, some other things that we can do to lift our spirits during this season is give a gift. Give a gift. The Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. I like to be on both ends. I'm not going to lie about it. Send a card to someone. Send a text to someone. A guy wrote this on Facebook. He said, "The way my year's going, everybody's getting text messages for Christmas." But better yet, pick up the phone and give somebody a call, because they need to hear your voice. And hearing a voice is a great thing. You know, giving makes us feel good. It really does. And giving destroys selfishness that may be in our hearts. It does. And no gift is too small or too little. Every gift given is special. I had another friend of mine post on Facebook, and she puts it this way. Every gift is much. Because, you know, people will say, well, this ain't much. No, if you think about somebody enough to give them something, it's much. It's much. So, I got some gifts yesterday, and I brought some with me, and I do like them a lot. I got this spoon thing. It's not funny. It says rest. You know, you actually put a ladle in this. After the ladle or spoon does its job, you rest it in here. So I'm going to take some advice from this, and I'm going to rest after I've done my job. And today's job is extremely long, from dark to dark. You know, we were here at 6:20, and we will be here tonight till late because we're having a party. So I encourage you, rest this season. In all seriousness, take a break. You deserve it. You deserve it. And then I got these pictures that my nieces and nephews sent me from Virginia. See how good looking they are out there, guys? Christmas time makes us remember our family. Even the ones we don't see a lot. They're growing up so fast. You know, a lot's happened in their lives in the past month, and I've missed out on it. But I'm so glad to see their faces. And then I got a couple cards here. Oh, this was one of my favorites. Came from Travis Matthew. Made me remember Sandra. Sure do love her. That's what makes eternity so great. Golly bum, guys. It makes it wonderful. We'll get to spend some time together. A lot of time together. Who knows? Y'all might be living next to me. That's not funny. Got this card. How old is Grandma now? 94? 93? Hey, when you get 93, 94, hey, what's a year? You know, my grandmother told me, she said, I don't even know how to act. I wouldn't expect him to live this long. So Grandma, right, sent me a card. She used to write me letters. I've got them all put up. And I needed these letters at the right time. Now, she just signs her name, or she gets Dad to sign her name. Doesn't matter. I know who it's from. She put me $10 in there. Thank you, Grandma. I spent it. She's always spoiled me. And Rick and B.A., she's always just spoiled us. But last night, I couldn't get in the truck because I didn't have my keys. I couldn't get in the bedroom because Lori had it locked. She's working on Christmas stuff. So I didn't have any money. I couldn't get my money. And I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out a $10 bill, and I said, hey, that's enough to buy me a pizza. So I take it over to Amber. She's ordering pizza, and I said, hey, get me a pizza. And I was wondering, where did that $10 come from? Thank you, Grandma. And then this here. Have you heard of the charcuterie boards? Is that how you say it? Charcuterie boards? Is that how you say that? There you go, charcuterie boards. The coochie boards. Friends and family gather here. Don't miss this season of gathering with your friends and your families, and I will close with this. You say, well, I don't have friends, then be friendly. People will be attracted to you if you're friendly. And you say, well, I don't have a family. Well, if you're a member of this church, you do have a family. And you can be as involved in it as you want to, or as distant as you want to, but you have a family. Matter of fact, we're having a party this evening. We do have some more tickets. And you say, well, I got to buy them. Well, if you come to my house and we're throwing a party, bring a dish. But I guarantee it's going to cost more than $10 for tonight. But you do have a family. We're family. And in families, we do have problems sometimes. It's like Jay. How many remember Dallas back in the late 70s and 80s? Gosh, that's like one of the greatest shows ever made. JR and Bobby, I was for JR. Lori, you were for Bobby. old pretty boy. But J.R., man, he didn't mind getting down and dirty just to get the job done. And those boys would fight each other and go at it. But I love what they said. We may fight each other, but nobody else will fight us. Hey, we're family. I'll protect you with my dying breath. And I mean that with my whole heart. We're family. And last thing as you stand up and I start to close is Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 17:22 that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. I want you to be happy this Christmas. And if you set your mind on things above, it will lift your spirits. But I want other people to be happy too. I was in the grocery store and I kept running into this lady. I mean, literally running into her with my buggy. She just wouldn't move. And every time I turn around, she was there and it's bam, bam. I mean, we were like bumper buggies all over the grocery store, you know. And finally, I just looked at her. And she looked at me like, why do you keep hitting me? And I caught her eyes and I said, Merry Christmas. I didn't know what else to say. I didn't want to say, get out of the way. You know, I'm in a hurry. So I looked at her and I said, Merry Christmas. And oh my goodness, she had the biggest smile come across her face. She was so happy that I said, Merry Christmas. And she looked back at me and she said, Merry Christmas to you too. Because I know that was not what she was thinking when I was bumping into her. But her heart changed in an instant whenever I said, Merry Christmas. She said, Merry Christmas. So don't be ashamed to say it. When you go out and go down the streets and you're in Walmart and somebody just picked up the gift that you wanted, or you're in the grocery store and they just grabbed the last bag of sugar that you needed, look at them and just go, Merry Christmas. Don't you say, I hope that rots your teeth out. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Man, don't forget the wonder of Christmas. And I hope God stirs it in your heart this year that you'll be like kids and really anticipate the gift of salvation and enjoy it of what all it meant for Jesus to come here. It's the most beautiful story in the world. And it all took place because of us and our need for Him. And just as much as they needed him then, we need him now even more.